You are listening to Let's Go, the weekly anime podcast about weekly anime from Dynamite in the Brain and Secret of the Sailor Madness. So come along and hang with the Let's Go gang. Dwayne.
Hello.
Niall.
Amore.
And me, Brian. Right, this week, let's start with two things I think we forgot to talk about last week. Or at least I watched. I think Dwayne watched one of them as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was flying so fast through all the things we watched that I forgot to mention them. Sakura Quest Episode 1.
That's fair enough. There were just so many things to do.
Yes.
This is not Sakura Wars. I was disappointed.
I was pleased.
Steampunk robots.
I've seen Sakura Wars. I was pleased for it not to be again.
Okay, maybe it's not as good as I think it is.
Well, maybe parts of it are good.
Yeah.
Not the majority.
So what's the main premise of this? Like jobless youth?
Yeah, it's like...
Them damn millennials.
Well, except I think it's set in the past, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, like as a commentary for now, similar kind of things going on.
Yeah, there's some lass who's trying to find out how to get a job. She ends up going to this micronation of Chupacabra.
It's like a local attraction for this country village.
Yeah. Apparently, it was quite the craze during the bubble economy in Japan.
It was a thing. Like a lot of different towns did it as tourist attractions.
Yeah, it's kind of to get city money into your town.
Mm. They're not actually micronations, though, right? Legal standing and stuff.
It's a weird gimmick, you know.
Okay,
it's sort of like I don't know. You know how Disneyland is kind of its own weird little nation,
but it's not it doesn't have its own laws.
No,
what I'm saying.
But this I could kind of quite relate to because I come from a town which, until recently, had a tulip parade where they'd crown the tulip queen for a year.
I was going to say a tulip parade sounds weird because tulips can't walk.
No, well that's why you have to tie them to vehicles.
Just kind of parade them as a warning to anybody who would oppose you. This is what the queen does to her enemies. She festoons the parade float with them.
And this guy hasn't even picked the rich Japanese folklore to go with. He's decided to go with a chupacabra.
Chupacabra!
Well, I'm proof of the monster, but still.
That is true to the history as well.
Wait, they have those in Japan as well?
No, not the chupacabra, but people... making their micronation seem foreign.
Oh, for the tourists.
For the tourists, sure. Yes. So why would you go to just a bog standard Japanese town when you can go to...
Oh, they have those everywhere, yeah.
A Mexican town in Japan.
Little Italy, or...
Or is it not Mexico? Where's chupacabras come from?
Mexico, South America, I think.
Yeah, I know South America. I just thought it was a little further south.
Hmm.
Yeah, so she gets roped into this. I can't remember. I mean, the stuff which stuck in my head is the cranky old man.
Yeah, obviously.
And the weirdo at the back of the bus when she's trying to leave town.
I love she gets onto that bus. It's like the bus driver's being very obtuse and this guy in the back actually just slowly backs out the door.
Just kind of terrified by this ukulele playing ponchoed man. As you would be in the middle of the night.
Talking about what would happen if buses had noses.
Just trying to eject herself from the situation slowly and calmly.
Yeah.
So she basically just takes the job as a one-off thing so she can not... Basically, she can make excuses to her parents as to why she hasn't moved home.
Well, she needs the money.
That too, obviously. Yeah, yeah. But and she thinks it's a one-off deal, but she didn't read the contract, which seems remarkably stupid. But I guess she is just out of college or whatever.
Mm-hmm. The only problem I had as I was watching it was I was like, I'd rather be watching Secco Boys again in terms of people just out of college taking on weird jobs.
Right.
True, but we already got that, and it's not the show we're watching, so we have to go with this.
And the other thing is the town revival we've seen done in one episode of Tiger Mask. So.
Yeah, so... Well, I'm kind of wondering how many of these weird promotions are going to go to for the final ever wrestling show. It's almost worth sticking around to see how long before they go to the ideas and talk, okay, we haven't tried wrestling yet. Let's see if this pans out.
Sure. Well, what did you think of this overall, or was it not very memorable for you?
As a guy who really likes Shirobako, this isn't quite the same as that. Mm. But I was getting a similar vibe off of it. So kind of in spite of myself, in spite of, you know, maybe the matter at hand, which is more about promoting tourism rather than the anime business, which I am obviously very interested in, I still kind of interested in watching a little bit more. And there are certainly enough weirdos in this town.
I think that's important.
Further investigation, I think, to see.
You need those town weirdos to really get that. Those are the things that grab your attention. Like, what is that guy's deal? Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm also from the country, so this speaks to me in that regard as well. I've from the country, but I've been living in the city for most of my adult life, so I can kind of see where she's coming from in her own experiences.
Yeah, there was also the kind of weird subplot where she, like, at a job interview, explains her dream of being like the crowned person of a kingdom or something.
Yeah, well, they asked for like it's one of those kind of gotcha interview questions. But it's like, what's your earliest childhood memory? And you're wondering, how is that relevant to the job? But, you know, just kind of answer honestly or something.
Yeah, which she does. And I don't think they're too impressed by that. dear.
Yeah, it was okay. I'm not sure I'm in a rush to watch any more of it, though.
No, that's fair.
Just
it's
time.
Not that.
Purposes.
The amount of other things to watch, I think, is basically not in its favor. Other than that, it seems quite likable.
And the other thing, which I watched episode one of, I don't know if anyone else did, was Love Tyrant episode one.
I did, because you watched it, and I regret that.
Well. You regret it, yeah?
Yeah.
It's trash, but it's trash just told with gusto, I would say. It does what it does well. So it's a Death Note parody.
Yeah.
And the joke is that the Shinigami, turns out not actually to be a Shinigami at all, is a Fujoshi. And she's got this love note. So rather than putting the names in of people and they die, if you put two names in with an X in between them, then they'll kiss and fall in love.
Mm. And she'll die if she doesn't do it or something, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
The rules keep changing.
They do, yes.
Yeah.
It's hard to keep track.
And there's two characters who are allegedly human, but someone does make a line. But there is a line in there. I'm not sure she's human. And then her sister apparently can generate force fields, which suggests that maybe they're not human. Neither of them are human. And there's a cat with a human face as well. And by the end of episode one, somehow four people have got their names written into this book. And they're all in some sort of polyamorous relationship now due to the book.
Mm.
Much to the
only person happy with that is the angel. Yeah.
Yes, everyone else is annoyed about it. Because our male hero was in love with this girl. The name gets written into the book, and it turns out she's a psychopath.
No, she's a... Oh, what is that fucking trope called?
Yes. I think it's a little bit further than that, though.
she's
the murderous one. Come on. Yeah. I don't know where she keeps those little boy knives.
The fucking kookeries.
Go into history.
I was really watching Black Lagoon because I'm afraid it's going to go off Netflix soon. And I went, oh, yeah, I've just seen those because you got that one assassin uses two of those as well. They really can't really love those things over there.
Mm, yeah, and your man from One Piece. Is it Helembo or?
Helembo. Does he have those? Yeah,
I think so.
It's been a while since I last saw him.
That's true. But, so she's crazy. Her sister loves her, but it has the ability to generate force fields. This show was like either boring or offensive, and it kind of just veered back and forth between the two for me.
It was stupid, but it was and it kind of entertaining, and I was admired for taking it as far as it did.
Yeah, I was surprised you were bored by it. I don't think it was ever boring.
Oh, no.
I just felt my eyes glazing over while watching it, and I'm just like, that's just on me, though.
Yeah, I suppose if you're not finding the sense of humour funny, but I just admired the gusto at which he was telling his story.
Holding back, no.
No. Okay, and then finally the last thing closing up was Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid episode 13. Emperor of Demise arrives. It was the final episode before we knew it. So yeah, Dad showed up.
He's very cross.
Mm-hmm.
And
she goes away for a while. Like she's just gone. And
it kind of does the life without her thing, and how it's not just empty, how difficult it is, I suppose, as well.
Mm. But they had to learn to get by, you know, it was kind of like, it was a little bit sad, but, you know, at first, because, like, oh, she's gone. Well, we know that Toru's coming back, but for the time being, we're seeing him get by. I consider him out of time, maybe like a couple of weeks at least.
There was like at least a few days, yeah, certainly.
And Kobayashi had gotten used to, you know, having her around. She's having difficulty getting her morning routine going.
Well, then she has to mind a kid now.
Yeah, but I just kind of falling back in her old routine of, oh, this is the guy, stay up out all late, and I got to get it out, take me, but to kind of manages to kind of, oh yeah, I know I've got to take care of somebody now as well, so I'm going to be thinking about them too.
Yeah, but she doesn't even have like her life before it, because not only, yeah, she minded the kid and doing the best she can at it, but she's like refusing to go out drinking because it's like, I can't really do it tonight.
Can't, because I'm obviously staying late over work anyway. I'm coming home and Karen's already put herself to bed, and it's
just to teach the kid how to use the rice maker, because like, I'm not going to be home a lot, so you need to know how to cook now.
Yeah, it was kind of sad to see kind of like home all by herself, you know, nobody around, but she kind of learns, I guess, to adapt her situation and just make giant bowls of rice for herself.
Yeah,
rice and nothing else.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, I think I had the same kind of relief as Kobayashi when Toru shows back up at the door as a dragon rather than a maid again.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, that's really nice. But then you get the cool...
Dragon fight.
That was pretty sweet. And just the kind of thing of her, like, Kobayashi having to force herself to stand up to the dragon who, like, kind of threatens her. Was like, I can fucking kill you. Just letting you know right now.
Well, I want to, but apparently there is some kind of weird law that I can't
interfere with this thing, but I can beat you within an inch of your life.
Got diplomatic immunity, can't really do much.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, like, even that, I was like, I think if he's willing to stretch the rules that much, I'm questioning how much he can do or can't do, you know? But, yeah, and Kobayashi basically, like, fucking stands up to him despite it.
Mm. Yeah, and it's nice, and like, things go back to... Well, Reggie kind of back to normal again, but it starts from kind of fresh chicken. No, I haven't seen my parents in a while. Maybe I should do that. And just go on a little trip, and just, it kind of closes out with this them hopping on a train and taking a long ride out to the country wherever she is from.
Mm.
And just going home to see her folks. And it's like, hey, there's this weird kind of family has grown up around me. This is like your kind of... I guess your daughter-in-law and possibly your grandchild. I'm not sure how this works.
Yeah, it's something like that. It's a weird modern relationship, mom and dad.
it's lovely overall. I mean, I came into the program for the jokes, and the jokes were good.
Mm.
But I guess I stayed for the lovely little family development stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And also the jokes when they were there too.
it was making weird parallels with Yuri on Ice of all fucking things. When it's just like, yeah, you know, this is really nice. This is nice. And it was enjoyable for that.
Looked very nice as well.
Oh yeah, it was
sure. Normally it was pretty good, but it was like, you know, there were some really nice little scenes in here.
Yeah.
And there's some good ones when, like, you know, kind of. In Toru's own mind, her dragon form is there. It's kind of like the doubt within herself, saying, "You like you don't belong here." And this nice woman kind of sprouts her wings, just kind of the ground craters around her, and she shoots off into the sky. It looks pretty cool.
Mm, that's some really nice animated stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
And of course, you big cool dragon fight at the end.
What's not to like? Yeah.
Mm. It's a nice little thing, and it really, as I said, wasn't on my radar at all coming into this season of stuff just gone by.
Mm.
But just stuck in there. And a lot of people felt the same way because, you know, you've seen a lot of the favorites of the seasons, favorite of this season lists go up. Mm. Everyone picked that Rakugo Shinjo thing, which I probably should have watched and would have enjoyed it if I was watching it. It was the best show airing, but I didn't. But this was a lot of, like, like people's runner-up choices.
Mm.
I was going to say, a lot of those people who say that, though, got bored by the first episode of Acca 13, so do they really know what they're talking about?
You got to have the slow burn, man. That's the entire point of the show.
Well, see, like, for the sake, they thought that was a slow burn, but then they're watching Rakugo Shinjo. I was like, okay, that's also a bit of a slow burn, guys.
Mm.
Yeah, it was... I enjoyed it more than I was expecting. Let's put it that way. I still don't think it will make my top 10 of the year.
Well, that's fair enough. I mean, it's just nice to have something that you unexpectedly kind of like, you know.
Yeah, and this episode had little. Unfortunately, again, I'm comparing it to Heads. It's a standard thing. Eurosight Asura did this episode, but in a meaner way because it's Eurosight Asura.
You mean when it kind of went like the emotional hits rather than the comedy and stuff, yeah?
No, in the terms of the plot of character A thinks character B has left forever.
But they come back.
And then they come back.
Yeah, and then they have to to go back to their normal life. It's what they really wanted, right? But then they think, no, I want supernatural craziness going on in my life. It won't be the same without it.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas everything goes back to normal.
Yeah. In Eurosight Asura, of course, it was just turned out that Lum had gone to get her passport renewed. It was nothing dramatic in the slightest. But Taro spent the entire episode losing his mind, thinking that now it was gone, he realised what he missed.
Well, I think that's the point of that show, right? To be cruel to him?
Yes, yes. Well, I'll always favour a show which is cruel to characters more than a show that is nice to characters, like Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid is.
Yeah, it's nice to just get like a happy wrapped up ending though as well. I feel like we don't need to come back to this because, like we said, we think they've done everything they could with the premise.
Yeah, and, well, no, they haven't. It's just we're just worried what they might do with some of the other premise.
yeah, like this episode and the last one where they kind of like started dialing back from Quetzalcoatl, and I was just like, yeah, okay, that's good. Just do that. That'd be great.
Right, let's get back onto track with Dragon Ball Super, episode 85. The universes begin to make their moves. I just think there should have been an exclamation mark there, which Crunchyroll didn't put in. Their individual motives. And so, what do we get? We get a day in the life of the Pride Troopers. We meet a couple more of them.
Yeah. It's looking a little more Starfleet-y as it goes on.
Yes.
It is,
except with superpowers, obviously.
Sorry.
Yeah, they're really swell guys is the other thing we get across. Is they're far more good guys than our good guys are.
Yeah. I mean, like, when his chief comes up, it's like, hey, you can't be over here moping. You'll make people scared. It's like, you got to be something yeah. people look up to.
And Toppo in a suit looks even more like Colonel K from Danger Mouse.
Yeah,
I can see that.
It must have been a nightmare to tailor those things. And one of their rank is now it looks a little bit like whatever
the Sphinx cat kind of thing.
Well, a little closer, it's more kind of like a rabbit.
Buck teeth. Yeah. Absolutely. So it's like it's that universe's version of whatever the fuck Beerus and Champa are.
Maybe, yeah.
Mm. It could be, yeah.
And lots of meetings going on between gods and the guys, and your consensus is, fuck Universe 7, the gods into this mess.
Well, the guys seem to have all their own kind of thing, whereas the gods of destruction are kind of like, we want to fuck up Universe 7, right? That's the plan, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the Cleopatra-looking one does find Goku attractive, apparently, though. Champa decides that he wants to fight Saiyans with Saiyans.
So yeah, I like ringing up Cabba, and it's like, hey, Cabba, do you know any stronger Saiyans? He's kind of taken aback. He's like, dude.
But yeah, the Kais can't get along at all.
Yeah.
They are very different. You know? Yes,
but we also get sort of a glimpse of some of their personalities.
Mm. The one guy who's just bored all the time, or yawning all the time, yeah. I suppose.
Yeah, what, Universe 6, like the big cast. Pineapple guy?
Yeah.
I was going, oh no, oh dear, oh my, oh gosh. It's a seriously Pineapple Man.
Gohan goes off to train with his other dad.
Yeah, he's like, so you're back, whip you in a shape bag, Gad.
I love that. It's like, hey, Piccolo, do you want to join the tournament? I'll get you ready for the tournament. I'm fucking ready. I was born ready.
And Goku, as promised, goes to see Dende to find Android. Android 17.
He does get distracted on the way.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Boo.
Oh, Boo. Yeah.
By the new sexy Boo.
How could I forget that? Yes.
It's like, hi, Goku, I didn't see you there. I was just doing a little bit of working out.
Yeah, and Mr. Satan is so proud of him.
he's finally got out of the room. He's open about. He's found something to do. He's not sitting around watching TV and eating.
Bit of focus.
You know he's going to be so fat proud again by the tournament.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's going to be, okay, Boo.
In the 18 hours they've left, he'll have eaten enough to just put on all the weight again, yeah.
I got to get you ice protein shakes before you got 40 hours for the tournament.
Oh, no, those were regular milkshakes. dear. Yeah.
They have a little kind of match, and then, like, this Goku gets outwitted again. He's like, "Duh, ring out, of course. I keep forgetting that. Don't.
Because they had to remind Boo not to murder people, but he really well, like, punked Goku into knocking him out of the stage. I was like, well, fuck's sake, Goku. If Boo can fucking tactfully think, you really need to step up a little.
Well, luckily, Goku's getting his training by fighting everybody who's going to be his team.
That's true, yeah.
It's fighting them all and just thinking, okay, remember, Goku, no, don't fall out of the ring.
Don't murder them. What else does he learn? it's more than one-on-one fights.
People can gang up on you.
Yeah.
Actually, I was thinking about that earlier in the week, about things that could be employed using numbers to give someone an advantage. And I thought, Champa's after Saiyan, right? Is he going to get a bunch of Saiyans to pad out the roster? And then it continues looking bad. Okay, we got 5 Saiyans here. All you guys shoot into this guy, and then kabam, Super Saiyan God.
Oh shit! I hadn't considered that.
Yeah, I thought that could be a valid tactic. Or if they haven't got enough, then maybe have enough across two universes. Everyone said, "Hey, up up for now. We'll team up. We'll pick one guy. We'll make him Super Saiyan God, and then we'll." Sort out between ourselves then once we're taking care of all the other guys. Or something like that.
Yeah. I'm really enjoying the show. I know a lot of people are saying like it's a really slow build, but I'm still enjoying like the
now it is slowing down quite a bit because it's going literally 39 hours to the tournament. 38 hours to the tournament.
But it's going quicker than real time. Think about per episode. Dear.
Yeah, I'd laugh if it takes forever to build up the teams and then the actual fight takes less time.
2 episodes.
Ah, dear. Because I kind of want the tournament to take longer than the allotted time for it, just because there's so many weirdos there.
Well, at least it's not just going to, we got to find this guy and then we got to see it. They're just like, you know, just stopping by and then quick little sparring thing to see it or up to
yeah.
Start. And then we're getting all the background stuff with the other universes doing their machinations in the background, too. So you don't feel like it's just you're seeing this same process repeat week after week.
Yeah, if you were seeing, like, freaking 12 universes recruiting guys, I think that might be a different fucking thing. Yeah.
But I guess thinking about it, just after 17, just got to get Roshi in. He might need a bit of convincing. And then just got to find, who are we missing?
Well,
who
do we I believe the that's... other person is with Roshi from the previews.
Oh, well, that's 2-1 then.
Yes.
Okay, well, that's fine.
So they just invite him because he happened to be there. Yeah.
Well, maybe Goku remembers that he exists when he gets there. Oh, yeah. the guy who's the equivalent of me for that other martial art. It's the crane style, isn't it?
Yeah.
Brandon did whole beef, you know, like years ago. Remember that whole fight in the tournament? No? We got 3 eyes. Oh, yeah, you know.
What, with the little guy?
Right. Okay, on to, let's look at some shorts. Bono, episode 39, Let's Play at Divine Punishment, in which Raccoon and Badger wave Tachiwarai bark at people.
form an angry mob and are terrorizing the locality.
I like this episode because it carried on the thing from last week of Raccoon hating Chipmunk Sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And them hating Raccoon. As they're waving the bark, people start, basically, they wave bark at Bonobono. He joins them in waving bark. Then they wave it at Chipmunk, and he joins them. Then they get in a fight with the sisters. My favourite joke is that Di carries on lecturing them, even when she gets interrupted with the bark.
Yeah, she tries to continue on the lecturing, and by the time she finishes, they've all left.
And then they just basically decide to punish people for how they behave in general.
Yeah.
So Raccoon's dad is punished for eating food when Raccoon's not there.
Mm-hmm.
Wolverine is punished for pooping.
Well, not caring about where he poops.
He just puts it wherever he wants. Yeah. He doesn't even go next to the tree or in the bushes, just right wherever it drops.
Fenny is punished for having philosophical thoughts.
Too many big ideas.
Yeah. Fishing Cat is punished for being asleep.
And he doesn't wake up the entire time.
But he still does the smile.
Yeah.
But when they suggest to go and do it to Prairie Dog, Badger decides he's going home.
Like, what's the deal with that? He doesn't want to fuck with Prairie Dog, or?
I don't know.
Badger does his own
thing. He's mysterious, I guess. Yeah.
Who sticks to the water has run deep.
Oh, dear.
But if you like funny pictures of animals making goofy smiles, then this is the episode for you.
I just form this angry mob and just going around just terrorizing people. Like, none of you are free, I'm saying.
Yeah, and even Raccoon and Chipmunk Sisters' fight is just them putting the bark under each other's nose and then making them smile weird. Mm. It's not really that physical of a fight, even though it has the standard cartoon, you know, dust and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. And then in Ninja Girl and Samurai Master episode 27, the dangerous old man appears. And in this episode, Chidori brings back a big rabbit.
What was the thing? Like, if she chases two rabbits, she'll come back with three?
That's it, yes.
Yeah. It's a variation on the phrase, if you chase two rabbits, you'll catch none.
If you've chased, that's it.
And it's like, I like the way that you're, who was it reacting to that? Was it the monkey guy or, that was like, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Probably Mitsuhide, if you use the straight man.
Oh, that's right, he's the straight man. Yeah.
They send her to spy on Matsunaga Hisahide.
Yes.
Because he has that impenetrable fortress.
Yes.
Which needs much improvement.
Well, Chidori is a very good ninja.
But his guards are very bad.
Yeah, that's it. I love how that she goes in and, you know, and he's not sure what she's here for, probably to kill him or that. But he has that kind of the confident smirk all throughout her exchange. He doesn't let it drop, even though he gets taken aback by things she is saying or doing to him.
Yeah. You got to maintain the confidence.
So how does it go at the end when she says...
Like, he says, I've fought my way to this position and I'll only work for someone if they're stronger than me. And she says, perfect, you should work for Nobunaga then, because he's the strongest guy ever. And he's like, I could do that. And then if he's not strong enough, I could just fuck him over.
Yes, which, that will happen.
Chidori comes back. Chidori, how did Rukarasim score? Oh, I brought back this guy. Oh, shit.
No, it's not that. It's like, I can't, because it's like, oh, you can ask him yourself. I think that's the, I can't remember the lead into that. And then
pull
back reveal. Oh, he's right there.
Still smirking.
Yes.
Hmm.
Yeah, so he will die in 1577.
What? Enjoy him while he lasts, kids.
Well, there is a character who's been in it from quite near the start of the series who is coming up to his death date. So,
oh, no.
Yeah.
He has to return to his home planet soon.
One of the quote-unquote good guys.
Mm.
Yeah, because I was going through the notes. I was like, oh, I've looked up. I was like, let's see who else is going to kick the bucket before Nobunaga is. Actually, not that many.
Mm.
Most of them seem to outlive him. I think, yeah, Chidori must be like her early 20s now. I can't remember exactly which point they said she was like 15, 16.
Yeah.
She,
eventually
immortal.
She's going to be ninja woman by the end of this.
No, she's some kind of magical pixie girl who never grows up.
Well, same as everybody else. Everybody else just maintains the same character design, no matter how old they are. Righty-ho. And then we go on to Shonen Ashibe Go Go Gomachan, A New School Term Begins. Two episodes into season two, we're already doing a clip show from two episodes ago.
We're recapping what everyone did over the summer holidays. This happened to have everything that Ashibe did on tape from a previous episode.
Yes. And the key joke is that all the kids had a better holiday than the teacher did.
Well, that, and she's really, like, guy crazy.
Yes. Yeah, I'm not sure which character of the two. There's another character in the show I'll talk about later who is also guy crazy. I think the teacher in Shonen Ashibe may be more guy crazy than that character.
Well, anytime a man is mentioned, she goes off on a weird fantasy.
Yes, particularly about what that would be like. The fantasy of the teacher is pretty crazy because he still has his normal face, but then he's kind of redesigned to some sort of Tarzan figure.
He's a bit more rugged than...
He has less of a mustache, which somehow makes him more handsome. Yeah, yeah.
He's more kind of stubbly. Like,
and then we see the truth.
Yeah, where he's just begging for more hamburgers.
Come on, Mr. Sugao's mom. Don't be so stingy.
That and her fantasy about it being like a foreigner and... What does she have? English, French, and German, I think.
She's like, Amore. Ich liebe dich.
Good stuff.
Yeah, so what the other kids do? So
Yuma went to the TV studio with his mom.
Yes.
She met everyone horribly ill.
Yes.
The only thing your one saw was a camera lens.
The creepy dad keeps filming her at every hour of every day.
Mal got his finger stuck in a bottle.
It's still in the bottle. It's
still there.
Ashibe accidentally brought Gomachan's drawings, not his own.
So he has to explain what's going on in the picture. Yeah.
Yes.
And all the kids imagine some horrific ordeal that he's been through.
Oh, I'm going to remember the best of it. It's Sakata. What Sakata did during the holidays was paste to look like Gomachan.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
It hasn't come up yet.
And is the fact that mouth isn't aligned with his own mouth. Okay, I'm talking about it. I like this episode more than I thought.
It's a clip show, but it manages to stick in enough new jokes, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And you get the reactions to the story from the people who weren't there.
Mm.
58% new footage, so you can't go wrong.
Right, let's go with what's next on my list. I've got...
There's one more short there, if you got to it.
What was that?
Oh, Love Rice.
Love Rice!
Oh, yes, I did get to that. No, I didn't get to that. No, I do apologise. I did not get to that.
Okay.
How was it? I've seen the Raw, so you can explain the jokes, that's fine. Does it explain why
I assume I'm missing like fucking like 70% of the puns or something.
There's a guy who's got ears and then animal ears on top of his head.
An animal on top of his head?
Animal ears on top of his head. The teacher.
Oh, yeah. Is he a big kind of fat guy?
Yes.
Is he the teacher, I guess?
He's the teacher introducing all the new strains of rice to this school term?
All the new students, yeah.
Yeah, but...
Okay, by the way, the school's closing down.
Yeah, it's like the school's closing down. We can't compete with bread. It's done. It's already over. Everybody give up. To which the main character is obviously really disturbed.
Oh, we have to say the school through a series of puns, I guess, which I'm not, I don't quite get.
They weren't really translated for me, too. I was just like, I don't know what.
I kind of get them, but I thought maybe they just weren't that funny.
I know the start, the thing. Start seems to be like a flash forward to some sort of contest called Yeast King.
Which is the worst name for a contest. It's not good. Yeah, so I guess they have to beat the bread school in this, whatever this contest is, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not entirely clear. That's pretty much the episode, I guess.
As it gets, yeah.
Mm.
So I don't know. I'll give it a couple more, seeing as it's only a few minutes long. But
Didn't really grab me from the thing. All right,
not really.
Right, I'll try to remember to watch it. Okay, My Hero Academia, episode 15, Roaring Sports Festival.
Rawr.
In which we learn that people resent Class 1A.
And that this is their big chance to move to the A class.
Yes. So,
Guys, yeah. Think you're hot shit because you got attacked by supervillains? Well, you're not.
We got a couple of new characters. We get Hitoshi Shinso from Class 1C General Department. So he's not in the hero class. He's only doing the general course.
That's the guy with the purple hair, isn't it?
Yeah, the guy with bags under his eyes.
Yeah.
He resents people with perfect quirks who get to be heroes.
Mm.
I think later on we see him being carried around by other members of his class.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's kind of like the thing of when you see some of the other class, like in his class especially, it was like, well, he's not a main character. She's not a main character. Guy with purple hair, yeah, he's probably...
I can't remember his name. And then we get the guy who's got the best name in the show so far from next door in Class 1B. Tetsu.
Oh, that's the guy with the crazy around his eyes, yeah?
Yes.
Yes.
Unsurprisingly, with that name, he turns into metal.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not the most subtle name. No.
I saw him like later on when it begins or in the preview, I don't know, something like that, but yeah, he's just like Colossus, whatever.
Yeah, I think it might be in the opening because I think the other character from the other support classes hasn't appeared yet, but she's in the opening.
Hmm.
Yeah, so we get that. We get the usual Bakugou being not making things worse.
I love, yeah, that he was walking out and basically they think everyone in Class 1A is like him.
Yes.
Just a really overconfident piece of shit. dear.
And then All Might tries to get Midoriya to remember how he felt on the beach to get him through this sports festival.
Mm, the sense of like achievement from pushing yourself that hard.
Yes.
Because he's worried he can't step up to it. And it's like, but you did step up to it. You know how to do that. Yeah.
And then we get the first part of the sports festival, which is an obstacle course.
It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. We got a fucking rad training montage. How can you forget that?
That was pretty sweet.
Yeah, I do appreciate that this is a series that's a big fan. This kind of property is a big fan of training montage. You don't have to get too bogged down. And you got to learn to control your power. You're doing this tick-tick, this obtuse like exercise. One said, nope, training montage. Start hitting the weights. Start.
I like the one who can produce stuff from her body is like reading books and stuff. Is like, what new things can I make?
Yes.
That kind of way. Like everyone has their own training thing in it. And I guess that's what the opening sequence has as well. They're all just stretching out for the sports competition.
Very sensible. Don't want to pull a hammy.
No. That was pretty fun. And
Bakugou gets to do his statement, doesn't he?
He gets to do the speech.
Yes.
Making them look worse again. And also your man with the white and red hair.
Yvonne calls out Midoriya.
Yeah, yeah. Same. And that's one of the things where Midoriya goes like, I'm not sure I can, but I'm going for the top.
Look, I won't try and get in your way, but you don't get in my way either. We'll both try and do this thing. And it's like, fine, game recognizes game. It's see who wins today.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he takes an early lead in the obstacle course.
Well, when you can freeze everyone to the ground.
Yes. And the robots from the entrance exam make a reappearance.
Including a bunch of the 0-point ones. where everyone's just like, what? How are they affording these? Good stuff. I did like the way you see like a lot of the other class guys have figured out a way of countering your man's ice in the meantime.
Yes. Yeah, I liked Minoru, the guy who produces those sticky balls off the top of his head.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. I don't like him as a character, but that was a good use of it.
Yeah, we forgot his best bit last week of getting hit in the face by Suyu's tongue when he was about to say something untoward.
Yeah, he barely even got it out. You'd have to like work it out as to what he was going to say, but... Oh, dear.
was it in this bit? I don't know where I've seen this for, like, Ultraco is, like, levitating rocks, and then the kind of pink stoke girl who shoot acid was, like, shooting acid at them.
Oh, no,
then,
that's where they were training.
As we're training, yeah. Yeah. I was like, oh, it's kind of nice you guys made a little kind of training group together to help each other get through this.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, because I think in the actual race, Ochiko was saying she didn't want to use her powers yet.
Yeah, she had like a plan, but it was too early to enact it.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Because I think she's got a limited amount of time she can use them for, if I remember correctly.
Before she gets sick, I guess.
Yes. I don't want to be puking my guts up, you know, every 10 minutes. I need to get a handle on this.
Yeah, it's like a 4-kilometer race or something? But something like that. It's just like a loop around the stadium.
But yeah, obviously they did the thing where they have to run through, everyone has to run through a very narrow corridor to begin with.
Just to start them off, let them know what's what.
Yeah, and unfortunately, because I went and looked at my Shonen Jump issues, I was like, because I wanted to see how far, where it started running in the Digital Shonen Jump, and it does start running during this particular arc.
Oh.
Which unfortunately has meant I've also got it mixed up in my head, though, events from the comic with this episode. I was like, does he do that? No, he hasn't learned how to do that yet. So.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think I was just skipping over it at the time because it was like in the middle of an arc. And so I should probably go back and read those. And now I'm reading it every week. I should probably read what I bought.
Possibly. Jeff, it's good. It's off to like it's better off than last week because, you know, we're pretty involved having to recap business.
It feels like last week, I mean, like, and then the freaking episode before was not only trying to recap us but trying to just slowly catch us up into it, and then this episode like throws you into the tournament.
Put it forward.
I'm amused when people complain that it's moving too slowly. I was like, well, it's two chapters worth of this. You should watch One Piece if you want to watch it moving slowly.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, next on my list, I've got Tiger Mask Double, episode 26, The Mysterious Miracle One, in which Tiger Mask is dogged by a logic loop of how to get a shot at Tiger the Great. They're like, well, you need to be a champion.
How do I get to be a champion? Well, you need a qualification in this. How do I get a qualification in that? Well, if you had won a belt in this and this, you could go for that belt. And it's like, oh my God, fuck this.
Yeah. So much work. Well, I'll find him now. How do I find him now?
Yeah, so it's amazing. Like, he can't get a shot at Tiger the Great unless he's like IWGP champ. And they won't give him a shot at the IWGP title unless he's... works his way up or is a champ in another company. And he's like, And then there's this new wrestler shows up in New Japan called Miracle One. He's from a Canadian group.
Yes, he's the, what's it, Jolly High Flyer or something.
Something like that.
Yeah.
What's the name? Canadian Standard Wrestling.
That's the most
boring company.
Yeah, it doesn't have the excitement that the other guys have.
I wonder if he's going to use that. Maybe he's going to challenge him to a Canadian Standard Wrestling Championship match. But of course, it looks like by the end that Miracle One and his sidekick Miracle Two are actually not who they say they are.
Your GWM intruders.
Yes, I mean, who would do such a thing? Wearing a mask to infiltrate another federation.
And I did like the commentator going like, oh, there's another Miracle One running from the thing. No, he has a different number on his chest. It's Miracle Two. It's like, Jesus, dude, you are the slowest motherfucker.
It's for the people listening on the radio. Okay? It's not for you, Dwayne, okay?
I know. I think I said that Kevin's going to turn heel. I just figured he was going to take one of those other masks that you said, Brian.
Well, and then we see them in the preview. Blimey, what are those masks we're talking about?
Yeah. Yep.
Well, Kevin is doing the heel, but I guess he's doing it for why he perceives to be the right reasons.
Yeah, of course.
Kevin, look, I know you're mad. that your buddy got his ass handed to him by Tiger the Great, but, you know, you got fucking injured in the previous match and you shouldn't go to him with it. Like, you can't get mad at Tiger Mask for, you know, fighting Tiger the Dark in the ring. I demand it. Why is he supposed to just let him win? Huh?
Yeah, and also Kevin, like, double-teamed on Tiger Mask to fucking get...
So obviously, like, he wasn't up to the challenge to begin with. He needed you to come along to bait his ass out. So stop getting mad at Tiger Mask.
Against Tiger the Great, Kevin, you idiot.
And they get mad at Tiger Mask by beating up Ryu again.
Oh, that poor bastard. Everyone's booing when he fucking wins by...
Yeah, particularly after he was broke from earlier in the episode when he was tricked into taking...
Oh, we was straight onto a date, inverted commas.
Yes. Yeah, he thought he was going on a date with Haruna, but Haruna showed up with the candy pear as well, and he treated all three of them.
See, I did like the way he was going. He's like, hey, isn't that a really expensive Korean barbecue place you're taking to? And he's like, oh, don't worry, I'm not going to eat much. And she's just like a girl, and she shouldn't eat too much. I'll be able to afford it. And it's like, you idiot, you've treated three wrestlers a meal. They're just going to eat everything.
Yes. One of how many bowls should we get? Eight sounds good to me. Yeah, let's go.
Eight each.
Yeah.
What do you want, Wakamatsu? I'll just have sound.
Haruna is arguably more ripped than Ryu is.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, dear.
Yeah, that was funny. And then he still thinks he's going to go out again with her.
I'll try again next month. Next month's paycheck. Ryu, will you ever win? The answer is no.
They're trying to book Tiger Mask, so they get him to ring. There's like a bit where they're all teasing him as well, all the older wrestlers are early on.
Oh, yeah, where it's like they want to book Tiger Mask for their show, but they find out that he really wants to talk to the manager.
Yeah.
Fancies her, and it's like, all right, oh, but make it all business. Kind of thing.
It's like, why you guys listen? Well, this is the business call, so we all I gotta listen to everything you say, make sure you're doing it right.
Weirdly, this was a better episode than the climax of like the big war game thing last week.
Yeah,
the first part of that was better, all right. Yeah. Or the prior part,
Okay, next on the list, it was something I didn't watch, but did you? I don't know if Dwayne watched it either. Episode 27 of Attack on Titan.
Ah, yes.
I watched last week's one. Okay. I managed to get it in.
Well, what did you make of that one? If you're familiar at all with...
Yeah, I watched it up to... I forget what fucking episode. I haven't watched like all the last season. But yeah, it really kind of throws you right back into it. Sets up a lot of new stuff, like you said. And kind of keeps that terrifying tension up, which is nice. I think I'll hop back on board in this one. Maybe I'll slowly catch up and watch the rest of the last season.
Do you want to talk about 27 right. next week then? Or are you not going to continue for the time being, Dwayne?
Do you want to do 27, 28 like next week or?
I can do that.
Sorry about that, man. I couldn't fit them both in.
I don't say it's a good one. Like, we're taking a little count. Well, there is like things moving in the background on the main plot where this is like, basically about Sasha, the potato girl. Going back to her hometown and like seeing a bit of her past and how she got involved in the what do they call it? Like a survey corps again.
Yeah.
And then the episode after that will be about Connie, who's a little kind of runt of the corps, but he's very, very smart, so he gets by. And so he can go back to his hometown and, you know, and that kind of thing. So we're getting these little bit more kind of depth involved, all these kind of side characters too. I'd be like a Sasha fan, as a lot of people are. This person to do what they can to survive, which is mostly scrunching up food wherever they can.
I'm liking the way they're kind of hopping back and forth between the characters. It reminds me of like one of the better parts of the first season where, what was it? The invasion of, I've forgotten the name of the town. It was the multi-part thing, and it kept cutting back and forth between the characters, but that managed to keep the pace up.
Oh, yeah. There's like, you know, there's a big incursion. They're recording these different little kind of groups and stories playing out, yeah.
Yeah, and it seems to be doing a similar thing here, and that's kind of a good format to work for it, I think.
Yeah. Well, it's like they're going kind of cutting to a bit now. Meanwhile, in the main plot, you know, we have these things moving in the background. They're kind of hauling ass out of there, and we have the priest. And he's not saying anything, but we're going to bring him along. We're going to fucking make him talk. He's got to open up eventually about what's going on with that Titan in the wall and what it means.
Yeah. Okay.
But for the meantime, you know, I'm happy with this. Like I said, that dread is there. Episode 27, it kind of, most because, you know, everything is, it kind of scales down a bit to this local area, and the Titan that shows up isn't even one of like the bigger kinds. It can fit in like inside like a regular like sized house, but it makes it feel a lot more like hard to call it.
They're kind of bringing back the scale because a lot of the guys don't even have their equipment and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, there's that as well. Like, you feel very vulnerable, feel very exposed, and you know, even though it's just this one guy, there's the fact you kind of fish inside a house and kind of wander around inside of there. Mm. It just feels a lot closer almost, and, like, you know, it's a little creepier. Actually, the scene that Sasha comes across, which goes back to Revolution now, is, I will just say, creepy and unsettling. It gave me my skin crawl, just the atmosphere evoked by witnessing it.
Okay.
Just look forward to that.
I guess. Yeah. You're still not going to watch any, Brian?
No.
Okay.
If it helps, it looks a lot better consistently. I think its production IG are taking a much bigger role in actually producing the animation for it. So it's, I guess, a studio was still doing this. Either way, there's, they have like the right amount of like staff they need to cover this thing and keep it. Keep it at a good level of quality week to week.
Okay.
Now, what I was watching on Saturday was Rage of Bahamut, Virgin Soul, Episode 1, Red Dragon. And so we're 10 years after the last series.
Is it really necessary to watch it, the prior series?
I don't think I've finished the first series, so no, I think you're fine.
Not necessarily, no. It would...
I've watched this one, but I was wondering, was I missing out on much?
You recognize some of the characters? Yeah. Oh, flying cameos. That was almost simultaneously the same words there. But yes. So you got this situation where it looks like the demons have been enslaved by mankind. There's like men are going around killing angels as well, apparently.
Like, yeah, the opening of this one is like apparently humans invading heaven, as far as I could tell, and murdering all the angels, and then like a shady business deal where someone's trying to sell slave demons.
Yes, and they're rescued by, what are they called? Is it the rag demon?
The rag demon, yes.
Yeah, I think it's something like that.
And then we meet horny teenager, Nina Drango.
I think that's, like, horny sounds like she's up for it, but I think she's more embarrassed by her own feelings, but yeah.
Yeah,
she's definitely feeling that. A completely different change of pace from those first two scenes.
Yes.
Okay, even like when she's running down like the main streets of the town, and it's like, good morning, is a little like kind of Beauty and the Beast.
That's exactly what I was fucking thinking.
Yeah.
Bonjour. Yeah.
Everybody loves her cheery personality and her super strength.
She's right. Nobody on the building site. Holland, like sexy cement or rocks, whatever.
Yeah, 20 lats stacked up, just swinging them around. Good stuff.
Who is it? He's the painter who she first gets flustered over.
Oh, yeah.
Because she has to bring over the ladder, and then as soon as she puts it down, she's like, oh my God, this guy's so handsome.
So dreamy. Artist, she's a sensitive intellectual type.
The way they animate her getting flustered.
Her face is progressively becoming more like a freaking tomato. Yeah,
it is pretty great. So when we see... Kaiser from the first series is now, I think, the chief knight of Charioche the 17th. I think there's been... In those 10 years, I think the last Charioche was like the 13th or something. There's like been a lot of Charioches in between. It wasn't the 16th, I know that.
Okay.
And then if you watched it before, you can tell that they go to a like gladiatorial combat between monsters.
An orc and something else.
Yeah, the Undertaker. Is clearly Azazel from the first series. And as we learn later on, he is also... the rag demon.
Despite completely covering himself up, it's apparently not a good enough disguise.
No. Not when you grow wings out your back like that.
I guess that's a giveaway, yeah.
How many guys with those, like, proper marks under your eyes do you know?
It could be makeup.
And he's got a young boy in tow who apparently is called Mugaro. Yeah, so apparently there's a bounty out on this rag demon, and our friends from the first series, Bacchus and Hansa, have got a bounty, and it turns out Nina is living with them too.
Right, is there any explanation as to what those guys are in the first series? Because, like, I need to know their deal.
Well, Bacchus is the god of drink.
Okay, I thought Hansa, he was a god of something.
And Hansa, his pal, he's a talking duck in a crowd.
Okay, that's as much as we know? Okay.
Hansa can grow to a larger size, and Bacchus can ride around in him, flying.
Cool.
And they just, like, run the bounty hunter office, putting the posters up. That's just their deal. That's what they do.
They magic up the posters.
Yeah, and they got like the wagon that's bigger on the inside.
Mm.
It's just meant to be like a mobile office, but you know, Nina's crashing there because they're buds somehow. Whatever, she's very forward that way.
Your man seems really annoyed by it because she hasn't even gotten any bounties.
Well, she's only been there for a couple of days. Just got to the city.
She's super strong. I think she's good. Like,
and anyway, she's out on her job tonight because she's going to like. Stake out the rat demon and try and catch him, which she attempts to do.
Yes, but then gets confused, and as part of her, they think she's an accomplice.
Through her own, like, kind of ineptitude, yes.
And then she sees the rag demon's beautiful, handsome face and turns into a red dragon.
She gets
so she's getting squeezed right into him, you know. She's as flustered as she's going to get in this episode, so yeah. crash lands, I guess, and just starts wrecking shit.
Yeah. And it's great. And then that dies down, she wakes up, and she's on a bed, and the room she doesn't recognize, and we have the necromancer from previous series, what's her name again?
Rita.
Rita, that's it.
Who is 200 years old, despite, well, assumingly 210 years old now. Despite appearances.
Yeah, and then, like, what happened? I don't know. We'll find out next time.
Where's Favreau?
Well, we know he turned up. But...
Yes, we know he's turned up because he's the second character on the website.
Yeah. And it's. I didn't realize how much I'd want to miss this shit, man. It was really good to get back into it.
Yeah, it's. The action was just. Directed on a whole other level, I thought it was. I think it's the best action I've seen this year.
Is the other show looking half as good as this? Because this looked fucking amazing.
Yeah, at least the first episode.
Okay. Well, I mean, like, I don't expect it to keep that kind of pace all the time. Like that fucking where she's running at super speed through the CGI fucking streets.
Now that was that's how you fucking do that. That's how you make that work together.
That was so good. Yeah.
I don't know, you got a thing, and this is how true of the first series as well as that. Yeah, for like some of the bigger, more complex looking things like celestial battleships and you know.
Like when there's army guys on horses at a distance or something.
Living suits of armor, like stomping around. The guy uses 3D things. It doesn't mesh as well together, but hey, you won't overlook that because Nina's making a hilarious face over here.
And also the designs are good as well. I think
that's true.
I think sometimes if the designs are good of a CG thing, you can forgive it not quite meshing. Because that's the thing I liked about the episode of Future Card Buddy Fight X, which we probably didn't get across when we talked about it last week, is the bad guy's monster look ridiculously good. Look better than the standard animation.
Yeah, actually, it wasn't like a low, cheap CG.
No, it looked really good.
Yeah, that's like you say with this one, like the direction and the design is so good, and the animation that isn't CG is so fucking good that you can forgive. It's like, yeah, I can see where you needed to trim the budget there. That's fine.
Or just so practical.
Yeah.
But it's not a budget thing. It's often like a time and...
Like, oh, absolutely. Like,
a time and skill thing.
Either we can animate like 50 fucking horses or we can animate like one CG horse.
Yeah, and we haven't got anybody who knows to do that by regular animations. We haven't. But we do have this 3D CG guy who doesn't know how to do that, so we're going to get him in to take care of this. And that's
it's absolutely sensible, yeah. This was great. And there was a lot of good looking stuff this week, but I was just like blown away on this. I wanted to watch it straight away after watching it.
Well, if you really want to have more of it, there's a whole previous series, Derek, you can dive into.
I'm going to have to, yeah.
You have it all done in the ways from between now and when the next one airs.
Now, something I'm sure you didn't watch is Haybot episode 28.
No.
Farewell.
Actually, no.
Farewell, my beloved Mocath. So.
Mocap.
Mocath. It's the short for the Mocath trio, who are the guys who want to be the main characters in the show.
Oh, right. I thought you meant the terrible robots.
No.
Okay.
They decide they need to revamp their gimmicks in the wake of the influx of new characters to the show. So they figure out who the weak link is in the trio, and that's their Vocabot, whose name I've forgotten. The one who has got like a mortarboard, and he's the thing he does is raise his glasses with a finger.
See, even you don't know his name, so he must be.
Exactly. That's all he does. And so he decides he goes and trains with Nejiru's brother to find a new gimmick. And the gimmick he gets originally is just him to begin with, is he gets a human body, becomes super ripped, he can fire beams with his glasses, and he basically warps the rules of Voka battles because he has a Voka battle. And rather than doing the joke thing that they're supposed to do in the show, he just beats up the other robots because now he's super ripped.
What's unique about them, Brian?
Yes. And then he goes back, and then at the end, all three of them have become super ripped and can shoot beams with their eyes.
Now, none of us stand up.
And that was the end of the episode. I've no idea. The main characters are barely in it, and I've no idea whether this will persist with future appearances. But it's a weird... I've seen this in other kids' anime. It's like there'll be an episode where characters somehow get adult bodies, super ripped bodybuilder adult bodies. And this was another one.
It's funny, I suppose.
It is funny, yes. I'm sure the glasses eye beams is a reference to something, because they're not... When I say glasses eye beams, I'm not really doing it justice as to what they are. They're kind of like laser tentacles. They don't... Which whip people.
Oh.
Okay.
So like a Cyclops situation, is
it? No, not like a Cyclops situation. That's the
thing.
No,
that's quite... Because
that's a nice straight beam. These are
I meant when his powers went crazy, but yeah, sure. Yeah.
Tendrils of energy.
Yeah, that's what it is. And it's even weirder once the humans start doing it as well at the end of the episode. Yeah, it was a good episode because, again, it was one which had a single idea and stuck to it all the way through.
Hmm.
Next week, apparently, is going to be a plot episode.
Oh, no.
With the mother showing up, her Haybot, and two of the different future versions of Nejiru showing up.
Hmm.
And apparently crying and hugging each other.
So it is going to be Crisis on Infinite Nejiru's, after all.
Quite possibly, yes. Next up is The Laughing Salesman, Episode 2. I think it's the last thing tonight, if I've got my numbers correct. Hot Spring Eccentricity, / Fantasy Company. So our lessons today are, what if you could cheat on your wife at a hot spring? Well, make sure you don't cheat on her with somebody who looks just like her.
Yeah,
that would be weird, I guess.
And what if there was a company where your position was chosen at random at the start of each day? Well, don't abuse the position of boss if you get it.
Yeah, don't be a fucking
dickhead.
Because
you might be boss tomorrow. Yeah, that just goes without saying, right?
Even though you're being set up by a fall in both episodes by the laughing salesman.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, in the second one, he could have just been happy enough, because it seemed like a really fucking chill place to work.
And it's only because he said something while he was drunk and the laughing salesman overheard him say it, that then he made sure that he was the boss all the time somehow.
Yeah. He kind of fixed it so that he'd ruin the fucking place. dear.
I like the second one better than the first one.
Yeah, no, same.
Yeah.
The second one kind of rushes to its end, I think.
Yeah.
The animation is great in both, though.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
There's lots of little details of, like, condensation running down a glass in the first one.
There's a lot of drinking happening in both yes. episodes, actually.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It's, I don't know what that says about adults in Japan.
the first one is kind of like, it's like, oh, he catches him like on a bridge and he thinks your man's trying to kill himself or something.
Oh, yeah, that's in the second one.
A second
oh,
one.
That was the second
yeah,
one.
Yeah, that's,
okay.
that's the best joke in the entire episode. Where he acts like he thinks he's good. So he's behaving as if he thinks the guy's going to commit suicide.
Well, your man's just like looking at something.
Yeah,
isn't
and then he pushes him off the bridge.
Pushes him off the bridge, reaches down to grab him, and was like, oh, thank God I got him. Oh, this is just his trousers.
But oh no, we'll have to go to the bathhouse now and talk about your problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's like he doesn't even just push him off. He pretends that he's tripped in order to push him off.
Yes, yes. And also, in the bathhouse, he produces his card while naked in the fucking yes. bath.
Don't worry, it's waterproof.
I was like, I'm very worried. Where were you keeping it? dear.
Yeah. In fact, I think this may be a case of a show where I need to look up who's working on individual episodes.
That's possible, yeah, yeah.
Because talking, recapping those jokes, that is a good run of gags.
Yeah, yeah.
Through that bit there.
Because that second bit was like so much better than the first one. The first one was kind of like, oh, I just wanted to see what it'd be like to cheat on my wife. And I'm like, why? Show, like, I yeah, this guy's an asshole.
The key thing is like, oh, I've the only ever woman I've been with is my wife, so that's why I wanted to cheat. And then of course the punchline is you cheated on the woman who looks just like your wife.
Yeah, so you didn't even get that, I guess.
Yeah,
wah. That's not a great
thinking about it in the moment, you know, it was in the fantasy thing, she didn't look like her.
No.
So I get, yeah. Would he just remember it that way rather than what the reality actually was?
No, it was basically the same physical body that he was with, so it doesn't matter.
But he didn't know in the moment.
I know. It's like I said, it's not a good fucking thing.
Well, I can throw that out. Every episode's been written by the same person so far.
Oh, jeez, okay.
Maybe it's just the particular... Maybe they're... oh, yes. Ah, here we go. Right. Okay, so far, the first half of each episode is a remake of something which was in the original broadcast.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
And the second half are adaptations.
Like new stories.
New adaptations.
Okay.
Oh, new adaptation. Okay.
That's kind of almost shows a bit because I actually, in both episodes so far, I prefer the latter half over the former.
But they are all based on the comic so far, according to the Japanese wiki. Apparently, they'll bold any ones which are brand new to the show, i.e. created originally.
Yeah, I feel like the second one is more like the second part of this one was more like the kind of Twilight Zone type thing you were looking for now. Where it's kind of like he gets... It's through his own... Like, it would have been fine if it wasn't for his extra fucking greed of, it's like, I can make this thing run better. And it's like, dude, it's a fucking great job.
You become the thing you despise.
And then he literally has to, as a job, be the thing he despises.
Yes.
And I was like, that's good. That was good.
Yeah, obviously this must be a thing in the... talked about a lot in Japan at the moment, because there's a lot of times we're coming across these black companies as being...
Yeah, that was... The last time was Asamatsu, I think we've seen
Well, if you watch a bit further into Mr. Nietzsche at the convenience store, there's half an episode about that as well, when the guy who's only there temporarily finally gets a job, but it's a black company.
Is it just like the contracts are particularly bad, or
just treated badly. The thing you do is like... I think in the case he's doing telesales or something in...
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, as I said before, the second one is much better than the first one. The first one I think I ended up watching three times because I got distracted and I kept on missing the punchline because it comes so quickly.
Yeah, it's just when she kind of turns around at the end, I think, is the entire thing of it.
Yeah. But I think in general I preferred it to last week's episode.
No, that's fair.
I think either I'm getting more used to... It may not be any difference. It may be just I'm getting more tuned into the pacing of it.
Right. Kind of getting the hang of the format.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm getting more of a handle on the system itself. So he's not trying to deliver some kind of comeuppance. He's just like this guy trying to lure people like into temptation. So that's more what his deal is than trying to dish out some kind of poetic justice on anybody.
It is interesting seeing the response. There just seem to be a lot of people who do like it, which has caught me by surprise. I think lots of people, I don't know if it's just like the thumbnail on Crunchyroll, seems to be a lot of people have tried it out, and there's people who can't stand it, either because it's not a continuing story, or they're like, where's the moral?
It's not that I need a moral, or I need someone who's an asshole to get their comeuppance, because that's what happens in the first one, technically.
Look at the thumbnail. I tend to see, what's up with that guy's face? Who is this person? I can ask him what this guy's deal is. And they just like, give it a go and that thing.
Mm.
Yeah, at the same time, there are a lot of people who do seem to be digging it, which is a pleasant surprise. A bit like how pleasantly surprised about like how many people comment on Ninja Girl and Samurai Master nowadays compared to when we started watching it.
And when we're spreading the word.
Yeah, nobody comments on Hey Bar apart from me at this point, but...
You're just like debating with yourself.
And I've only done it once in a while. I think the last time I said this is a very important episode of Hey Bot.
You'll show them, Brian. It'll be just as good as God damn it! Everyone's trapped on a bus. What the hell was that? The Village.
Lost Village.
Yeah, and you'll be right.
I think it's better than Lost Village at this point.
I think it's far more ambitious with the intertwining timelines and universes.
That's fair. Yeah, yeah.
It makes less sense than Lost Village, but
yeah.
Or maybe it doesn't make sense to you yet, but soon it'll all come and fall into place.
Yes.
The screw will turn in and tighten, and then
I'll realize that I need to go and buy Haybot toys and those potato snacks. Right, that ends this week's episode. Let's go, the weekly anime podcast about weekly anime. Before we say goodbye, let's find out what's coming up on this week's Secret of the Sailor Mantis and Dynamite in the Brain. I suspect as there's only been a few days since we last recorded an episode, it'll be the same things.
Pretty much, yeah.
It'll be the same things. But schedule is subject to change as things happen, because guests have and things have their own lives to get in the way of stuff. But I will say, if you go on there right now, you can listen to us on our inaugural theme we're just going to try and do from time to time, sampling animation pilots for various things, both new and old. Looking at them and judging them on the merits of whatever they may be, and saying, hey, it's pretty good, hoping it's made into a series, or this came out a while back, but didn't get made into a series, why is that? And just kind of sampling, you know, because there's lots of things floating around, lots of people, exciting young creators and people who are producing new things and in the hope that they'll get picked up on something much larger and greater. So we'll try it in the future. And this month is kind of, this has been completely changed around. I need to go back to the drawing board again for stuff we do. But hopefully in the near future, I think you, Midway, will be doing Dexter's Lab Ego Trip.
Yep.
It's a laboratory movie.
I've got Banana Man Season 1, by the way, if you want me to come and do that at any time.
Well, I could be doing it a lot sooner than we thought. Because a lot of deferrals pop up in the last couple of weeks, so I'm going to have to completely revamp the schedule I had earlier devised for the rest of the year.
Right, if I'm going to do what you just did and tell people to listen to what's already up there. Yeah, so the last thing we put up was Ghost in the Shell live action review and podcasts. If you want to hear two people who didn't like it, try and convince two people who did like it that they're wrong. Check that out.
I'd really ask who, but I think the fun will be listening.
Yeah. And also, I bring back from one of the my Dynamite in the Brain panel game podcasts, as they were talking about a show where you've cast a white actress in a role which could have gone to an Asian American actress.
Right.
We have a game of If Paul Rudd Was Anime.
Yay.
We test out its new revamped format in preparation for the live Dynamite in the Brain. And I think it went quite well, if I do say so myself, so check that out. Great. So if you want to find out which character from Azumanga Daioh would Dwayne The Rock Johnson play, you need to listen to that podcast.
I'm thinking about that now.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Au revoir.